Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Northern Arc Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Rio. So good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 FY27 results conference call of Northern Arc Capital Limited. First of all, I would like to thank the Northern Arc Capital Management for giving us the opportunity to host their call and also congratulate them for a very strong set of numbers. Yeah, from management, now we have Mr. Ashish Mehrotra, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Atul Tibrewal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Parthasarathy Ralabhanji, Group Risk Officer and Governance Head, and lastly, Mr. Chetan Parmar, Head Investor Relations. So now, without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Ashish. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks, Chintan, for hosting this for us. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. It's my pleasure to welcome you to Northern Arc Capital conference call to discuss our performance for the quarter June 30th, 2026, first quarter of the new fiscal year. As Chintan said, I'm joined by Atul, our CFO, Parthasarathy, my colleague in risk, and Jigar and Chetan for the conversation today. Let me begin with a few key highlights and a few observations of what we've seen in the quarter. I think it's fair to say in the world where the uncertainty has become the norm, shaped by the geopolitical development, evolving liquidity conditions, rapid technological changes, it is reassuring that some fundamentals remain intact. Indian economy continues to demonstrate strong resilience. Household and entrepreneurs continue to require access to capital to fuel their aspirations, and investors continue to seek high-quality, well-structured assets. Northern Arc remains firmly positioned at the intersection of this demand and supply of credit. A strategic focus on building a granular, diversified retail lending franchise continues to deliver very strong outcomes. I'm pleased to share that our direct lending portfolio has now crossed over 10,000 crores, a significant milestone that reflects the strength of our customer-centric approach and a disciplined execution. We are also proud to have assigned an outstanding ESG rating by ICRA. This was our first ESG rating with a score of 81, making us one of the highest-rated financial institutions and placing us among the select group of a few high-rating in the band of outstanding. This recognition reinforces our commitment to responsible and sustainable growth supported by strong ESG practices. Let me briefly touch upon the macroeconomic environment. The global economy continues to navigate heightened uncertainty, particularly in light of the ongoing West Asia crisis. This has led to volatility in energy prices, supply chain disruptions, increased risk awareness across financial markets. These dynamics, coupled with evolving trade relationships, have created near-term headwinds for the global growth and added complexity to the inflation and interest rate outlook here in India. Despite these external challenges, the Indian economy remained resilient, supported by strong domestic fundamentals. GDP growth stood at about 7.8% for Q4 26, reflecting sustained economic momentum. Robust domestic demand continues to act as a buffer against the global volatility. The consumption trend remains healthy across both rural and urban markets, supported by improved disposable income and favorable financial conditions. Government focus on infrastructure and continued policy support are expected to further sustain the economic activity and drive credit growth. The microfinance sector is showing early signs of recovery after a prolonged period of stress. The collection efficiencies have improved. The lenders are cautiously resuming disbursement and following a phase of consolidation. We are also beginning to see early signs of recovery in micro LAP and some of the unsecured business loan segments. While there are concerns around El Nino, its potential impact on monsoon, the rural economic activity remains stable, supported by healthy reservoir level, government spending on infrastructures and other investments. Talking of Northern Arc, particularly for the quarter was characterized by external uncertainties. We spoke about warranting calibrated and prudent approach. Despite this, we continue to build a very strong momentum. We report a profit after tax of 114 crores for the quarter, a strong 41% growth on a YOY basis, underscoring the resilience of our diversified business model and a disciplined execution of our strategy. Our assets under management grew by about 26% on a YOY basis to about 16,855, outpacing industry growth. This was driven by the significant growth coming in a direct lending business, which now contributes 64% of our overall AUM, in line with the strategy what I have been reiterating since the beginning, since we started this conversation many quarters back. Our direct-to-customer portfolio itself grew by more than 50% on a YOY basis. The MSME finance continued to be another important engine of growth, secured LAP business predominantly. That portfolio expanded by about 40% YOY to about 3,761 crores. In rural finance, we achieved highest ever quarterly disbursement of 328 crores, reflecting steady momentum. AUM in this segment grew after many quarters for the first time by about 26% YOY, taking to about 1,200 crores. Collection efficiencies remained robust at about 99.6% in June 26. The key states such as Tamil Nadu and Karnataka demonstrating strong continued momentum, both in terms of the dispersals and in terms of collection efficiency. Importantly, approximately 94% of our MFI book is now covered under CGFMU, providing strong credit protection. Combined with a branch network and improving collection, this gives us confidence to scale the business prudently. Like I've said earlier, let me reiterate, all our loans are individually underwritten, whether sourced through group or through directly, using our own proprietary scorecard called NeoScore, and that gives us a lot more comfort than anything else, and that's the approach we continue to follow. Our credit solution segment, we continue to benefit from a strong and expanding network of over 373 originating partners. The quality of this network remain high. Around 90% of our partners are rated BBB and above. Approximately 95% of them maintain capital adequacy upward of 20%. This provides robust foundation for sustainable growth. Our fee-based business, which includes placements, fund management, and our retail bounce platform, AltiFee, remain a key differentiator and giving us unique power to our credit solution business. While placement volumes were subdued during the quarter due to the border credit moderation, we are beginning to see improving traction across the key segments such as MFI, MSME, and consumer finance. Our performing credit fund continues to scale. We've received SEBI approval to launch two new funds. One is a diversified debt fund, and the second is the Northern Arc Saving Plus fund, providing strong visibility for growth. In June, AUM stood at about 3,000 crores. Further, we continue to see strong traction on our retail platform. AltiFee has registered crossing over 1 lakh subscriber. The volume on the platform has more than doubled on a YOY basis, increasing from 146 to over 315 crores or so, reflecting growing investor participation and engagement on the retail bonds platform. Together, these developments enhance capital efficiency, diversify revenue streams, and enable us to facilitate a large flow of credit beyond our balance sheet. Risk management remains central to our strategy. Our underwriting framework leverages over 50 million data points and more than 30 plus proprietary models, supported by a dedicated team of 100 plus professional risk specialists on ground and presence in 25% of the districts. This enables us to generate early risk indicators and maintain portfolio quality. We continue to follow a conservative provisioning approach, writing off unsecured loan on 90 days past due date. While this may lead to higher near-term credit costs, it significantly strengthened the balance sheet over time. As a result, a GNPA improved by about 1% as of June 26, and credit costs moderated to 2.6% in Q1 27, within our guided range which we've given earlier. Company is increasingly embedding AI capability across the function. Over the past years, we have developed a suite of in-house AI-enabled tools across lending, risk, operation, and markets using AI natives and agentic approach. The key initiative includes end-to-end AI-enabled lab journey for our retail branches, solution across bureau reporting to ensure a seamless onboarding and fulfillment of a retail lab customers. These capabilities and many others are enhancing operational efficiency and development and developing agility while augmenting our credit, underwriting and collection capabilities with all material credit decisions continue to remain within our credit officers. Overall, we started 27 on a strong footing, supported by healthy disbursement momentum, improving credit trends. While we remain vigilant to external risk, including geopolitical development, weather-related uncertainties, we are confident in our ability to navigate these challenges. Our diversified business model, disciplined risk approach, and strong execution capability position us well to sustain growth while maintaining profitability and asset quality. With that, I'd like to hand over to Atul to take you through our financial results in greater details. Atul, over to you.
Thank you, Ashish, and good evening, everyone. Let me walk you through the financial highlights of Q1 FY27. We achieved an important milestone this quarter with our direct-to-customer AUM crossing 10,000 crores, reinforcing our strategy of building a granular and diversified retail portfolio. Our total AUM stood at 16,855 crores, reflecting a YOY growth of 26%. The D2C segment contributed 64% of the total AUM, with MSME finance at 23%, consumer at 34%, and MFI at 7%. The net interest income grew by 32% YOY to 394 crores. The NIMs improved by 44 basis points YOY to 9.3%. Despite a challenging liquidity environment, our cost of fund remains stable at 8.46% for Q1, lower than 8.5 in FY26 and 50 bips lower than Q1 FY26. Incremental cost of fund also remains stable at 8.69%. The total revenue, including fee income, grew by 28% YOY to 416 crores. Operating expense remained well controlled with the expense ratio stable at 3.6%. Pre-provisioning operating profit grew by 27% YOY to 263 crores. Asset quality continued to improve with GNPA at 1% and NPA at 0.5% as on June 2026. Credit costs reduced to 2.6% in line with our guidance. Profit after tax increased by 41% YOY to 114 crores. ROA improved to 2.7% while ROE increased to 11.5%. On the liability side, we continue to diversify our funding base with a focus on long-term sources. Liquidity remains strong with surplus liquidity of approximately 1,300 crores and a liquidity coverage ratio well above 150%. Total borrowing stood at 12,440 crores with 62% linked with variable interest rate, positioning us well in a declining interest rate environment. Our funding mix remains diversified with 27% from offshore and DFI partners and 73% from the domestic sources. Tangible net worth increased by 15% YOY to 4,063 crores. Our debt equity ratio improved to 3.1x, reflecting a strengthened balance sheet. Capital adequacy remains comfortable and well above the regulatory requirement, providing sufficient headroom for future growth. Thank you so much, and we would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The first question is from Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a good set of numbers and thank you for taking my question. My first question is for Atul. You know, basically, see, I can see that, you know, provisions this quarter were around 110 crores. And you know, in your notes to accounts, you have written that, you know, the ECL, you know, the ECL estimates have been revised taking into account the macro, you know, the macro events. And there is, you know, provision of 66 crores. So did we make any prudential provision in this quarter? Like, does this 110 crore number include any prudential provisions also? Hello?
Yeah, we had an overlay of around 66 crores in as of March 26. The number, I mean, there is a small, very small difference, but the number remains around 66 crores as of June as well. So this 110 crores doesn't include any overlay per se. However, in certain segments, we have been a little more prudent and conservative and taken some good book provision that we will come to. When you look at the individual segment level provisions, you will realize that.
Yeah, so the next question is on this only, that see our credit solutions, you know, it has degrown quite a bit this quarter and you know, we would have expected that because personal loans and MFI, the outlook for both is actually improving, but I see that provisions in this segment has spiked, you know, it's almost 1.5%. So what happened here, or, you know, if you could just explain this part.
Yeah, there is no incremental stage 3 asset that has moved in this quarter in IR business, credit solutions business. What we have, and volatility on AUM that you see is normal in every year Q1. We will have lower AUM on in credit solutions business, which is how normally how it operates. So obviously there is a denominator degrowth. And we had the flexibility and we have been conservative and we were able to provide a bit more on the good book than what we normally would.
Okay. But you think there is no deterioration that you see?
Not a single account. I think that's the...
Okay. Perfect. And Ashish, one question is on this... Yeah, sorry, go ahead, please.
No, you were saying something.
Yeah, so I'm saying that in MSME, you know, if I look at all other lenders, a lot of them have reported, you know, slight increase in, you know, stage 3 or stage 1, stage 2. Whereas, you know, we have actually shown a remarkable improvement in MSME. So this is a welcome, you know, step. But I just wanted to know, like, you know, how much of this is the small lab portfolio and how much of this is the merchant, you know, the digital merchant where, you know, improvement has happened.
So, you know, in both the portfolios, the LAP or average ticket size is about 12 to 15. In there, we've seen a significant improvement in the overall collection efficiency, while the X bucket will move here and there. But the overall portfolio quality is look much better, like I said also in the opening comments. So about 50% of that is actually LAP business. And balance part is about 1,000 crores is merchant. Both are the credit performance and indicators, both leading, lagging, are looking reasonably strong. We'll continue to build that business month on month. Focus is to get a high quality balance sheet growth there.
Right. Okay. And the next question is on... you know, this our branch, you know, our brick and mortar business, which is, you know, the MFI and small LAP, you know, like, where do you see this scaling up this year? And you know, are we planning to add any new products in this, you know, the physical world kind of lending business?
Yeah, I think, you know, in both sides, as we see the stabilization of MFI and the improvement in the LAP, we don't do the small ticket less than, you know, 5 lakh rupee LAP is not our target. So our average customer, like I said, is about 12 to 14 lakh segment, which is better quality customer. We will add to my mind, like we said, we are at 430 branch network. We will add about another 50 to 60 branch this year. We've added some branches, about 20 branches in Q1 itself, and we'll continue to add more branches to the network. We've added actually 230 people in the sales in the quarter one itself. So idea is to get more sales per store, per branch. We've also, like I spoke about, building the AI in the journey to automate, trying to do 90% of turnaround within 3 days. So all that is being done to get better productivity per store and also get better collection as a consequence to see a better quality balance sheet growth on both these lines. We begin to grow MFI also, as I said earlier. So both of them should see a healthy growth in the coming quarters.
Okay, okay. And then given that this year, you know, credit cost in small LAP and microfinance will be lower, would you want to give a guidance on loan growth and ROA for the FY27?
Yeah, so we've already given and we will hold to our estimate to what we've given. Our guidance on the blended credit cost is about 2.6 to 2.7 range, and we are holding to that. Our target ROA is to get to closer to 3 and in this year. So we are pretty focused on the numbers, and you should see a quarter-on-quarter improvement to the guidance, to the position we've said earlier. We'll continue to work towards it. Okay. Because our focus is to have a disciplined execution of our strategy of what we've been saying for last 6 or 8 calls. And as we continue to execute strategy, continue to build the fee franchise, we will get there. You will have a movement within quarter, you know, like on the fee and other lines, but we know where we want to get to and how do we get there by a quarter-on-quarter basis. So we're pretty sharply focused on it. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'm done.
Thank you. Next question is from Kaushik Agarwal from Haitong. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the quarter. So I have a couple of questions. So just continuing to the last response that you gave, that you are targeting close to 3% ROA for this year. So I can see that for this year, we have delivered around 2.7. So what will drive this 3% ROA that you are targeting? That is one. Secondly, on the margin piece, I wanted to understand what has happened during the quarter. There is a 50 bps sequential decline in NIMs. This is as per the reported numbers that you have given. So what led to this dip in the margins during the quarter? And on the lending side strategy, so what I picked up is that on the intermediate retail, you would be broadly degrowing this book. So large part of the growth will be coming in from your D2C segment. And within that, I can see that consumer finance is growing out quite robustly. So what gives you the confidence in terms of growing so aggressively over there? And broadly, if you can share some data points in terms of this book is divided among how many DSAs, like digital DSAs, and is there any concentration risk over here?
Let me try and answer them in serenatim, but however, I'd like to call out one thing. It's not that we are degrowing the credit solution business. That business will continue to grow at about 8 to 10% year on year. We are expanding funds. Our objective is to provide credit solution when we work with our obligors. The solution can come from funds or it can come from balance sheet, depending on funds finding the right set of thematic opportunity to invest in. We have a full credit solution franchise, which is the most powerful institutional placement business with 17, 16 years of track record, with funds, 9 years of performing credit track records, and LTP, which is a retail bonds platform, and has a 4 years of high-quality track record. So I think we've got the full composition right when we talk to talk to our obligors on the other side. Our objective is to grow the business in a calibrated manner with a very sharp focus on the growth. I think the movement on the yield, because some part of the growth happened towards the end of the Q4 in June, and hence you did not see the full realization of yield. So I think that I will not be very worried, because we will hold to the stuff we've given to you, to our NIMS number. There could be movement within the quarter, but the overall numbers will continue to come in line or better than what we have said, and I think that's our endeavor. So if you, now coming to the question of how do you plan to get there, as we continue to expand the direct-to-customer business, we should see improvement in the NIM on a Q1Q basis. There could be movement on a specific quarter, but that's where you will see. Over the last 5 years, our NIMS has expanded from 5.5% to about 9.5%, 9.4, 9.5, and I think that's where that's the number is, and you should see that improvement coming in. The second part of the improvement will come in on two big lines, which is essentially on a loaded NIM basis, which is coming on the fee line. One is a funds management business. We've now launched two funds. One is 2,000 crores diversified debt, 1,500 plus green shoe of 500 crores. Another is a savings plus fund. Both of them will provide high quality growth on the income. We make about 110 basis points. So as the funds AUM grow, you should see expansion in the fee income. The placement business, you know, given the pipeline we are sitting on, both with regards to securitization and assignments and other, so I think we should, you should see a strong Q2 and a Q3 on that. And the overall fee composition will continue to expand. We are holding on to the guidance we've given earlier that the fee will constitute about 75-80 bips to about 100 bips in our, on our overall revenue line. So that's where you will see expansion in the loaded NIM. As the NIM expands and we see the fee expansion, you will see the loaded NIM expansion. Our OPEX, like we said, will remain at about 3.6. We are holding to that number quarter on quarter while investing at the early stage in building more capacity, pushing for more sales per store, and so on and so forth. Like I said, we've almost added 250 people on the production line in between a branch network. We've added digital partners, more digital partners been added. So that continue to see a rapid expansion, and we want to ensure that it is pretty well balanced between the MSME and the consumer and direct-to-customer business. In the MFI, it's a very calibrated growth. It's starting from a small book, but, you know, you should continue to see that growth if you continue to see the better set of performance there. So I think we are pretty confident to what we've said, and we should be able to hold and maybe deliver better than that. That's my response. I hope I've covered all the four or five areas you wanted to have a question on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So just on the consumer finance piece, I think I wanted to check, like, what gives you the confidence in terms of growing, like, aggressively over there. I understand this is mostly you have this DLG cover over here, but also wanted to understand, is there any concentration risk over here in terms of the channel through which you're sourcing? Is there any specific partner on which your book is highly concentrated?
We work with almost 30 plus partners. We work also with about 50 plus on a direct side basis. So it is pretty well diversified. You know, diversification is key to our risk, both at a sector level, and let's call consumer as a sector, MFI as a sector, then at the product level, then at a geography level, then sector, product, geography at a district level, then concentration at a obligation partner level. So it's pretty well diversified. These are the, to my mind, are the core guardrails with which we adhere to, and that's the only thing which is non-negotiable in Northern Arc, is the guardrails we've set for the diversification and the quality of book. And that enables us and gives us an agility to dial up, dial down, as we see opportunities in the market. Our growth on consumer is actually good, because we worked across the segment with multiple players, and, you know, the cohort level performances are fairly strong. We're happy to have, you know, a detailed conversation on it, but at a cohort level, which we track on loan by loan, partner by partner, we're tracking better than what we anticipated it to be, and I think we should continue to hold that.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a request to participants to please limit your questions to two per participant. For follow-up questions, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thank you for taking my question. An extension of what you just answered. So if you look at the growth this quarter, I joined in a little late, so some of my questions will be repetitive. Please let me mark and look up that answer. This B2C growth that we are seeing, 10% kind of a QQ growth, within that, bulk of it driven from consumer, where we have called out, we have 19 live partners backed by FLDG. So can you just help us understand, are all these 19 live partnerships that we have, all of them provide 5% FLDG? And the other thing is, doesn't this worry you a little bit that at a time like this, when I would say we're in the middle of a war, despite that, nothing kind of seems to show anything negative on the asset quality front and across lenders. Don't you think some of that stress, whatever that could be moving into some of these segments like, let's say, consumer loans, gold financing? So your thoughts on that, please.
No, actually, you're right. If you, it's something we debated today earlier. If you actually look at the entire retail pool growth in the industry, given we work with all of them, with about 370 plus partners, and you look at the overall credit growth, the 70% of the growth is coming from gold. And that's because the gold prices have appreciated over 3 years by about 3x from 60,000 to 150,000 rupees. So leave that aside. I think if you look at it, our MFI business, because we also have a small base arbitrage, so percentage may not be the great way to look at it. Our MFI business, after we've been dialing down and moderating for now about 6 quarters to 7 quarters, it for the first time grew by about 19% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. A consumer grew by about 15% quarter-on-quarter. Our MSME retail grew by about 8%. So I think the overall growth is pretty well moderated across the three sectors. The consumer looks bigger because it's as a whole is bigger and it's easier to execute. Rest of the stuff, there is a brick and mortar and there is a lot of hard work for before it start culminating into growth. We've added 232 people between the LAP and the MFI to push towards greater productivity and to push toward expansion in it. So I think all that gives us, Abhijit, puts us in a pretty strong position to continue to build on this momentum we have. The advantage we have is that we're starting from a small base, 10,000 crores is a small base on a direct business. I think we continue to do so. The idea is how do we grow our great solution business, how do we grow our funds, and how do we build a stronger fee franchise, and that's also the focus area. I think both of them will continue to stay very sharply focused, and I think this growth is sustainable quarter-on-quarter basis.
Got it, sir. And before I ask my second question, just a small follow-up, have you already commented on what led to this QOQ decline in this intermediate retail credit solutions business?
Yeah, we've commented the growth in the Q1 tends to be slower because you had higher volume dispersal. Overall growth across the sector, it tends to be between Q3 and Q4. So Q1 tends to be slower both in terms of people borrowing, because people borrow heavily for Q3, Q4, festival season onwards, and subsequent to which start tapering off, and I think the current pipe looks very good. So it will continue to grow 8-9% on a year-on-year basis, and the funds will then provide the incremental impetus. And the idea is how do we build more on the bonds and on the placement business. So that I would look at it at a credit solution level, total volume, and then look at it that volume moving between placement, funds, bonds, and then balance sheet. To ensure, better economics on a return on capital basis.
Got it. Okay, thanks for that. And then the last question that I had was on the D2C portfolio. This book has now crossed 10,000 crores for us, contributes 64% of the AUM. As this mix continues to increase, how should we think about the trade-off between growth margins and operating expenses? So what I'm just trying to understand is this D2C, do you see it structurally becoming more profitable over the next 2-3 years?
Of course, that's the underlying thesis. If you look at it today, some of those mature businesses make 4+ ROA. My big piece of the flow will also be as we get larger per store sales in LAP in our branches, and as the Pragati productivity goes up because of the sharper, better underwriting and fulfillment, that will ensure that, you know, you will get to see better output per employee. That's where it is, because you were very conservative, you tightened the policy, you wanted to have tighter selection of risk on the segment that you wanted to play. As the things stabilize and you test your scores, you have an ability to see how do I look at better throughput at a customer level and at a salesperson level. So there is also a productivity gain net-net, which I'm hoping we will get as we go through the rest of the 3 quarters. So the jaws should continue to open if that's the sharper answer.
Thank you. Next question is from Raghav Garg from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Good evening. I just have two very small questions. One, I look at your incremental cost of funds at 8.7 and then on the book it's 8.5. So do you expect that this cost of funds will converge to about 8.7 by end of this year? I'm just asking from a modeling point of view. That's my first question. And should I ask my second question?
Yeah, please. We can take a part about cough first and then we come to the next.
So, Raghav, we have seen a spike in the benchmark rates in the background of the prevailing geopolitical conditions. We have seen a 50 bips increase in last 6 months as far as the benchmark rates are concerned. We have also seen the movement in the hedge cost. It has gone up by 75 bips in the last 6 months. And obviously, the banks have also been increasing their MCLR. Though by just small margins, but it has gone up by close to 10 to 15 basis points. So overall, there has been a trend of increasing borrowing rates. But if you have looked at our numbers, we have been able to maintain our cost at around 8.5% consistently now for the last 3 quarters. Our incremental cost of fund, it ranges between 8.6 to 8.7. We have not seen too much of an increase on that front as well. But there will be some debt which will come up for repricing in the next couple of quarters. There we might see an increase of close to 5 to 10 basis points. So overall, Raghav, I don't see any major changes in the cost of fund. It should remain range-bound at around 8.5 to 8.6% level. We do not see that changing much, in spite of the condition. Liquidity, though, has become quite tight. We are seeing challenges on that front. As far as Northern Arc is concerned, we are very well capitalized. We have good amount of undrawn sanctions of close to 1,300 odd crores. So interest rate and liquidity both are comfortable for Northern Arc.
But I understand that if you look at last 3 quarters, the yields have come down and the cost of funds has been stable. Now with cost of funds going up, there could be a further decline in spreads. Is that the way to think about this?
No,
I understand there is a credit cost lever.
No, Raghav, if you look at our yields, the yields have actually gone up except for quarter one. This yields have for us has been going up consistently. Over the past few quarters, it is only in Q1 where we have seen a slight decline in the yields, which Ashish mentioned.
Most of the credit solution correct. Disbursement was towards the back end.
So the cost of fund is consistent. The yields have been going up. So we are in line to reach a 9.5% NIM in the next quarter and close to 10% by the end of this year. So we are pretty confident about it. If you look at our names, it has been only increasing quarter on quarter. And we are very hopeful of reaching the 10% by the end of this year.
Understood. And my second question is that I think your tier one is about 21% as of March 26. At what point do you come to the market for raising capital? Is there a thought process right now behind this or not yet?
I think capital adequacy, as I mentioned, is very comfortable at 22.7. We have enough headroom for growth. You know, debt equity is just 3.1. The comfort level for the rating agencies, for the regulator, for the lenders is 4, 4.5. So I don't see ourselves hitting the equity market in the next 2 years. I think we are highly profitable. We add good amount of profit to the net worth every quarter. I don't see the need of any equity raise for the next 2 quarters to take care of our 22-23% growth target that we have.
Understood. But the only reason I ask is that if I look at since FY22, I think the tier one has not gone down below 20%, and hence I was just trying to take some cues from that.
I think it should remain in that range.
Other way to look at it also, if you are able to the funds goes to what we are planning to grow, while you see the overall throughput going up without requiring so much of incremental capital. Good. Anything else?
Understood. That's all from us.
Thank you. The next question is from Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just on the fintech lending, fintech partnerships, I think this is a business probably which we have been doing pretty well in terms of yields, ROA, etc. And probably other peers, NBFC peers, most of them have not been able to scale this business successfully without taking any hit on the credit cost front. So how are we looking at this business? Could it reach to a certain scale and then probably plateau, or is there scope for expansion? So some thoughts on that,
I think this business should continue to grow. We work with multiple partners without any concentration risk at a partner level or concentration of higher volume on a single partner. Our commitment on this actually goes to the genesis of Northern Arc. And our genesis to Northern Arc is a comprehensive credit solution business. We work with people at a very early stage. We take small exposure by dipping our feet. We test that performance. We get to know them better. We get to know their proposition. Then we take, we work with them more closely by supporting them in their liability need. Then we try and bring other lenders to participate to provide them to grow. If we continue to see good performance, we also offer our funds team to look at it if that marries with their investment opportunities, on depending on funds investment thesis and funds IC approval. We like them more, we continue to offer them tech, data, securitization and other services. We continue to work with them, and when we find there is an opportunity of our target client model versus their target client model at the price band we like to play, then we also participate in enabling them to fulfill more people who are coming through their door, coming to them, and providing them a comprehensive, convenient financing solution. The customer goes to many platforms, about 30 such people whom we work with. They push the application to Northern Arc. Northern Arc underwrites that application. Northern Arc engages with that customer. Northern Arc takes the repayment instruction from that customer, sanctions them the loan, communicates the disbursals, and present for collection. So it is a fully well-embedded, completely process. If somebody is looking at it as a short-term growth, may not work. Ours is deep commitment with our partners, which goes for 5, 10, 12, 15 years. In most of the cases, we were the first lenders to them. Some of them now hit capital markets or in the process of hitting capital markets. They all know the Northern Arc's value and Northern Arc commitment in the partnership is in their success lies Northern Arc's success. So it's a fully embedded model. We've been doing this now for 7 or 8 years, if I am right. And I think we continue to grow. We continue to, we manage it very sharply. And you know, today we had the board meeting and I did show to them saying how quick we are to react to dial down when we have to dial down. And the word I use in the board is that we do not shy away to by demonstrating the strength of character to say no when we think it is not right, when we see that the cohort is not performing as per our expectation. We work with partner very seamlessly. I think that's the nature that we are good at it and what we do it. And we should continue to hold and stay very sharply focused in ensuring that the end customer has a very seamless experience and our service principles and the partner service principles remains the same. I think that's the core of it and that's why you see a sustainable growth in it.
So thank you for the detailed answer and I think this is very comforting. Just one more thing on the margin. So as we mentioned, the margins are likely to scale to 10%. But so one thing phenomenal is that our cost of funds has been quite stable, like 8.5% since the past 4 quarters, despite the liquidity, crisis, prices, etc. So now the 10% delta margin from currently 9.3, is it going to come from the yield? So what is exactly, how are we expecting the yields to pan out? And just one last question on the provisions thing. So are we expecting any provision reversal from AVM Housing or Kinara Capital or any other provision reversal expected for this year? Yeah.
Let me take both. I think the yield should see some bit of an expansion as we continue to grow our business on a moderated, in a calibrated manner. And that should continue to happen. If you could see a change in quarter depending on when did you disburse the loan, if the larger part of dispersal on the credit solution side happened towards the mid of June, while you would see the reserving cost, you will not see the full earning fructifying and reflecting in the yield or the yield. So I think that's the one part of it. The second part to your question is, so as that expands, so the NIM should see a bit of an expansion, and I'm holding on to the number Atul has said. So if you look at it, you will see some bit of movement on quarter-on-quarter basis, but towards the end, we should get to 9.7, 9.8, which is and getting to close. The big part is how do you increase that loaded NIM from 10.10? That means the fee has to grow from 50 basis points to about 70, 80 basis points. That's a big play we are working towards very sharply. And I think that's the sense we have. So I'm not going to be too much current. It's calibrated growth across the three sectors, both between the credit solution business and direct-to-customer business. With growth coming across the three sectors of MSME, consumer, and MFI, will provide additional. We hold as you would have heard some of my earlier colleagues, we actually also hold an overlay of sizable amount of provision, which we did not release on DLG changes because I thought, given the uncertainty that we should hold that additional provision, we continue to hold it. AVM is in a sense more than adequately provided. We hold almost 75% because there are two pronged approach to it, which we said in the first call when that incident happened, which is between what the value we have assigned as part of the direct assignment. The retail book of that continues to be provided pretty aggressively following our approach. The other part of the book is fully provided. We don't have anything on Kinara, and also I think that's all done. That was securitized, taken over, fully done and dusted. That's where it is. So I think we should see some bit of upside as settlement happens, but right now I don't want to comment on it. It'll be unfair for me to comment on an individual account level.
So thank you for the detailed answer. Thank you and all the very best for the coming quarter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management team for closing comments.
Well, we just wanted to thank you for joining us today evening on Monday evening. Thank you all, and you know, we will see you next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all for being a great moderator. Chintan, thanks for supporting us.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.